And there are places you're not supposed to be. And so what we see here is the fact that what's going on in this particular passage is this takes place after the resurrection of Jesus. And if you read the first part of the chapter 20, which we're not going to focus as much on that because there's a principle later on in the chapter that we want to focus on. And it helps me when I see these things in the scripture, because what I look at, one of the things they taught us at college is to try to put yourself in the midst of the event that's taking place and think of it from being inside that event and see it, what your situation would be and what you see and the problems you face, and it will help you. That's how you study the Bible. Because these are real circumstances. These are real people. They have the same problems you and I have. They have the same struggle with the flesh that we do. And when you stand in a situation like this we're going to study about, it helps to understand what's going on in the minds and the hearts of those around. At this particular time in John chapter 20, we see that the disciples are struggling. Jesus has been crucified, and they don't know what's going on. They had invested 3 years of their life. I want you to get that, because everybody knew them as a disciple. Now, they weren't like Joseph of Arimathea, which the Bible says he was a disciple secretly. I've preached a message about the secret disciple. We don't want to be that way. This world is not going to benefit from secret disciples. It needs people like you and I to stand up and say, hey, I'm one of Jesus' followers. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want to do what I can and take a stand where I can to let people know that that's where they need to be too. But the disciples had invested themselves, and here they saw Jesus on the cross, and they didn't know what was going on. They were struggling. They were afraid. They were hiding at this particular point because they were afraid if they crucified Jesus, they might crucify us too. And so at this particular juncture, what takes place is the fact that they're hiding. They're afraid. Not only are they afraid, but they don't know what the future holds. Because they had invested all their life. They had invested themselves in the cause of Christ, and now he's gone. And we don't know what's going on. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 19 in John chapter 20. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's which day? That's Sunday, right? First day of the week. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I would be too, right? Verse 21, and it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But this to me is the sad part of this particular passage. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, we just thank you for this blessed book. Lord, without your book, I'd have nothing to preach. I have no assurance of anything. But Lord, because I have your book, this perfect word of God, I can preach about my perfect Savior who provides a perfect salvation for imperfect people to end up in that awful, sweet, sweet place. That special place you have for us. That perfect place. Not because we're good enough, but because the sacrifice of Christ was good enough to pay our debt. Move in a special way in our service today. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit to speak, to preach, and keep the preacher out of the way. Lord, please don't let him hinder or mess up the message that you have for your people today. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and I think about what's going on in the hearts of the disciples. I think about their struggle, their battle, them all of a sudden. Now, there's how many disciples at this point? Judas killed himself, right? Thomas isn't there, so there's 10 disciples gathered in the room. Okay? Now, what we see here is the fact that they're afraid. They're struggling. They've got battles. They don't know what's going on. They don't know their future. And then all of a sudden, who shows up? The Lord shows up. He knew what they were going through. He knows what you're going through, what I'm going through. He knows the struggles we face. But the best place that you're going to find the Lord is in his house. The best way to hear from God is on his day, in his house, with his people. And guess what? That's what the disciples were doing. They were gathered together. I imagine they were all concerned about their own lives. They were trying to encourage each other. Hey, when you've got struggles, you know what the devil's going to try to tell you to do? You don't need to go to that crazy church. That crazy preacher, he's not going to help you. You think Jesus cares about you? These are all things that the devil throws at me. I think he probably throws them at you too. But the truth is, the best place to be when you're discouraged is in God's house.
Amen.
Where the Bible's being preached. Where people love you and love Jesus.
Amen.
And there's no place better to be, even when you're discouraged, when you're struggling, when you've got battles. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen a number of them in my family as well as in the church, and we've had battles. Sometimes financial, sometimes family going through health problems, sometimes we have car problems, sometimes we have work problems, sometimes we have all kinds of issues, home problems. But the truth is, God's got a plan. And the best place for these disciples to be was having that Sunday night service. Hey, yeah, it was Sunday night. First day of the week. And guess what happened when Jesus showed up? Look at what it says. And it said, where were they? They were in a house, the doors were shut. How did Jesus get in? You don't think he walked through the wall? I don't think a wall's going to stop my Lord. Because at this point, he's got a glorified body. He doesn't have a physical body like you and I have at this point, because he had rose from the dead. You and I, when the rapture takes place, guess what? We're not going to have a body that is restricted like we have today. And I'm going to say this, a lot of people might not understand it, but they did not roll the stone away to let Jesus out of the tomb. They rolled the stone away to make sure that we knew he was gone. It was for our benefit the stone was rolled away, not for his. If the stone had stayed in place, everybody would have thought he was still in there. Jesus didn't need that. And what we see here, look at what it says, that the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were in there, locked, got the doors locked, nobody's getting in here. And it said, that's when Jesus came. He said, came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I want you to know something. There's no greater peace than what you get from Jesus.
Amen.
No sweeter peace. Because what we see is the fact that we have a struggle. We have battles. We have issues that nothing else will settle. They're, hey, I have them. Probably the toughest thing I ever went through, physically, I had an asthma attack in my living room. I know Bill remembers, because both my lungs collapsed right there in the living room. I died in my living room, what they said. But you know who helped me through that? Why I'm standing here? Prayers of God's people, but God reached down and touched me. Amen. I was in intensive care 5 days. I was unconscious 20 hours. It was an amazing feat just to get me from the house to the hospital where they could put me on a respirator and have that breathe for me, because I don't know why. Really, there isn't any brain problem. I've always been this way. But the truth is, hey, I've never faced anything like that. Personally, physically. But that's almost 30 years ago. If I had died, I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't have gone to Bible college. I wouldn't be in the ministry. But I want you to understand, God will take care of you. You've got struggles, you've got troubles, you've got family issues, you've got all these things. Hey, he knows what you're going through.
That's right.
That's why he showed up for the disciples.
Praise the Lord.
They were scared. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what the future held for them. But I like this part. Look at what it says. Jesus says, peace be unto you. First thing they needed was some peace. I've seen people going through health problems. How they have peace when they've got a terminal illness, I don't know. And the only way it is because of Jesus.
Amen.
But look at what it says in verse 20. And it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When you realize and you meet Jesus, what's going to happen is you're going to be just giddy, just happy. People around you, and there are times when I'm so get excited just thinking about the Lord and how much he loves me and what he's done for me and so many things that people think I'm ready for a rubber room. I'm really not, but I'm ready for the rapture. But the truth is, hey, I get happy when I think about Jesus. When Jesus comes and helps me with my struggles, guess what? It ought to make us happy.
That's right.
And that's where we ought to be. That's what the Lord wants for us. That's why he came to the disciples. Look at what else it says. Verse 21, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Now he's given them a second dose of peace. And then he's given them something else. He's not only given them peace, but he's given them purpose. Look at what it says. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. They were concerned about what the future held. Hey, Jesus had a plan for them. He's got a plan for you and me. This world is going to hell in a handbasket quick. I mean, crazy stuff going on. I read, I guess this morning, about, one of the websites, I go to some of those very politically incorrect websites. I don't know how many of you guys know about some of them, but one of them is activistmommy.com, okay? And she shared a statement or an article on her website about a woman in Finland, a Christian politician in Finland, who was interviewed, and she quoted the Bible on homosexuality out of Romans chapter 1. And they're trying to bring criminal charges against her for quoting the Bible. Hey, it's a crazy world. You think that's not going to happen here? It's not far off in America. We've got crazy politicians that are going to try to outlaw the Bible. In fact, I saw where California is trying to pass laws to keep you from being able to buy a Bible in California. You think that's not going to happen? Hey, eventually it will. Eventually it will. They have trained so many of the young people in the public schools and in the colleges over the last several generations. That's why socialism is seemingly on the horizon for America, because they have not been teaching history properly. They've been sharing favorably history. But you and I know that socialism is a dangerous thing. And it'll take away all your freedoms. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. But I want you to understand, hey, God knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. And where there's Jesus is, there's peace. But he also gave them purpose. But look at what else he gave them. And it says in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He gave them power. Where do we get power in prayer? From the Holy Ghost. He's our partner, our prayer partner. He better be. We're not going to get much done if we don't have him helping us. The Bible says that he maketh groanings for us that cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. That's why I know I don't need to speak in tongues, because the Holy Spirit speaks for me. There are times when I can't even verbalize what I'm going through. There are times when you just get, or the burden is so heavy, and you just get on your face and you weep before the Lord and say, Lord, oh Lord. And you can't say much else. That's all right. The Holy Spirit takes that burden that you're feeling, that you're buckled under, and he takes it and molds it and delivers it to the throne, word perfect.
Amen.
Because he can take those groanings and deliver them to the Lord that we can't even utter. So these disciples, these 10 disciples, what do they get? They had peace, a double dose of peace. Now they've got purpose. And Jesus breathed on them the Holy Ghost. So they have power in prayer. But the sad part about this whole thing is there's somebody that's not there. We call him Doubting Thomas to this day because of this very instance. Thomas didn't show up. I don't know why he wasn't there. The Bible does not tell us why he wasn't there. But you know what he missed? He missed a double dose of peace. He missed getting his purpose in life, his mission, if you will. He missed getting power. And here he is for another week. He's struggling with discouragement. Now, all of a sudden, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of it, but if you read farther on, the other disciples say, Thomas, guess what? You missed Sunday night service and Jesus showed up. You know why I don't want to miss church? Imagine Jesus showing up and me missing it. Good grief. I'd kick myself for a week. Hey, I want you to get this. Thomas didn't realize what was going to happen at church that Sunday night. Sometimes you guys might miss church. Sometimes we have to. We're sick. Some of the struggles we face, the situation with Sharon today, all the situations, sometimes they're unavoidable. But you never know what you miss when you miss. And I'm going to make this statement. God does not send your blessings to where you are. Think about that. What are you talking about, preacher? God sends your blessings to where you're supposed to be. If you're there, you get them. If you're not, you don't. I want you to think about that. Thomas wasn't there. He needed that meeting with Jesus. He needed the encouragement. He needed the peace. He needed all these things that the other disciples got, and he missed out. I've had people come up to me in the past, it's been a while, say, guess what you missed Sunday night? And I'm thinking, well, I thought I had a good reason to miss. Well, I wish I'd have pushed it a little harder, maybe. Hey, we all have times like that. But I want you to think, Thomas missed that Sunday night service, and Jesus showed up. Sometimes the Lord will lay on my heart a message, and I'm molding it, and he's giving it to me the way he wants me to deliver it. And then I get to church, and I'm thinking about somebody in particular. Well, this would be a blessing to so-and-so because they're going through a tough time. And the Lord, I thank you for giving me this message, and for this will be a blessing to so-and-so. And they're not at church. I don't know what the reason is sometimes. But the truth is, the Lord lays on my heart a message that is groomed just for what you're going through sometimes. And if you miss church, you're going to be like Thomas. You're going to get to struggle again for another week. Maybe longer, because I don't know that the Lord will give me a message that'll be tailored for you or your situation at the same time or the next week. I remember hearing a couple that liked their motorcycles when we were in Kansas City. And on Sunday morning, Sunday morning they weren't at church. But Sunday night they were. And they came up to me and said, guess what happened to us this morning? So I don't know. The woman said, well, we were riding a motorcycle this morning. It was a pretty day, and we just wanted to get out and ride the motorcycle, and we skipped church, and we were on the interstate. And in front of us, as we can't avoid it, there's a huge mattress on the interstate. And we're trying to go over that mattress doing 50, 60 miles an hour, whatever they were doing, without losing that control of that motorcycle. But guess what? The Lord got their attention because he got them over that mattress without losing control. But he did get their attention because they were in church Sunday night. And I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes we choose to miss church when we don't have to. But God's got a problem with us skipping his house and his service, and he wants to help us. What happens if Jesus doesn't show up for the other 10 disciples? He cares about what we're going through. He cares about us in such a fashion that what he wants us to do is to make sure that we come so we get what we need. I think about the old farmer. I've seen a number of times. I remember when Sharon and I first started dating, I'd go over to their house, and her daddy would have cows. He would not have to holler for those cows come feeding time. All he'd have to do is grab that bucket, pour the feed in the bucket, and shake the bucket. I'm telling you, those cows all over the pasture out there, they know it's feeding time. Hey, when God calls us to church, it's feeding time. He knows what we need. He gives us the best stuff for us. But if we're not here, then we're like Thomas. We miss out. And what I want us to do, believe me, it's not my job to police you whether you're at church or not, okay? I couldn't do that even if God wanted me to. The Holy Spirit does a good job of it anyway. Right. But the truth is, I'm trying to encourage you. Because there are times when I don't feel good. Long before I became a pastor, long before I went to Bible college, I was faithful in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and even soul winning times. Even when I was the only soul winner in the church. Guess what? All I'm trying to do is encourage you, because I don't want you to end up missing out the blessings that God's got for you.
That's right.
And there's a blessing to be got every service.
Amen.
Every service. What happens, I remember, I mentioned this before, but there was a pastor. We don't cancel services here, okay? Some of them do. I know some, we did one time in Kansas City because of a blizzard. We couldn't get to church. And one time we canceled them here because of Hurricane Irma. I didn't want anybody on the road. Other than that, we don't cancel services. You mean you have services Sunday night, even on Super Bowl Sunday? Absolutely. We have our best times on days like that. But I remember a preacher canceling services on Sunday night, on Easter Sunday. And a man had been trying to talk to his dad, trying to get his dad to come to church. And his dad agreed to come on Sunday night, Easter Sunday night. And they went to the church. The church was closed. No service on Sunday night. And the man's dad passed away on Friday. Guess what? That's not going to happen here. I'm not going to give you an excuse to miss church. Amen?
Amen.
The truth is, the Lord's got something special for each of us when we come to his house.
Amen.
And if we miss, You never know what you miss, but I guarantee you, you're going to miss a blessing. You're going to miss a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. It's always a blessing to be in your house with your people, knowing that your Spirit always shows up, knowing that we're going to study and feed on your word. And Lord, we ask you to do something special in our invitation time. Lord, we thank you for answering the prayers this week. Lord, we need you. We need your power. We need your peace. We need you to give us purpose. And Lord, we need power in prayer, just like you gave the disciples. And we know that Thomas was perplexed because he wasn't there and got to struggle another week. Lord, I pray for you just to help us sweep aside the obstacles that hinder us from coming to your house, to being faithful in your place, because there's always a blessing to be God. Lord, move the invitation as you see fit and help us to make those decisions according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.